Hey everyone, it's Colin. How's it going? Things are finally starting to get kind of juicy with the whole Apple Car project, and I think now it's finally worth talking about a bit. We've been hearing rumors about this one for years now, right? It started off as a project that Apple was undertaking to build a full self-driving car. Obviously, it was going to be electric. I don't think Apple had any aspirations to just build another petroleum-fueled vehicle and just make it autonomous. This was going to be like the car of the future with typical Apple build quality and design elements and user experience and all of that. And when we first started hearing the rumors about this project years ago, it really seemed like they were going to be doing the entire thing. Apple was going to produce the Apple Car and sell it as an Apple badged product, right? Well, after a little while, a few years of these very small rumors kind of trickling out, people seeing job postings on Apple's website related to automotive stuff. And I even remember one story about neighbors in a particular like California neighborhood complaining about hearing car noises late at night from this warehouse building nearby. And somebody did some sleuthing and found out that Apple was leasing that facility. You know, after a while of that, it kind of seemed like things were maybe starting to fall apart a bit. There was some internal turmoil within the team. Some people left, some other people took charge. There was some question about the direction of the project and whether it would be feasible or not and all of that. And what we had heard is that eventually that project kind of shifted to really just being more of the self-driving tech itself. Not necessarily the aspiration for building and selling the entire car, but rather coming up with the software and to some extent the hardware to sell to automotive companies to integrate into their cars to give them that self-driving tech, basically, so that they wouldn't have to develop it themselves. Effectively, Apple would become a competitor to a company like Waymo. You've probably heard of some of these other startups, all based out in California, that were going to go along that same path. They weren't going to produce the cars themselves. They just wanted to develop the self-driving technology, the AI, and you know how to figure out what obstacles there are and all the logic behind how do you drive the car and that sort of thing that they would just package up and sell on to other automakers. It seemed like Apple was maybe heading down that path. But then it shifted back again in recent months towards its original goal of just selling the complete car. And things have really gotten interesting as of late, especially around a supposed deal in the works with an existing automaker to actually manufacture the thing. Now, there's a lot of questions still remaining about this whole thing, the entire project. We've got way more questions than we do answers, but one concrete piece of information we've gotten really helps to kind of explain the direction that the company is heading, although it does raise some questions itself. One would think that given Apple's reputation for building what are, generally considered luxury products, I think they've even used similar language before when describing, you know, the Apple Watch and the iPhone and all that. Apple doesn't make cheap stuff. They make stuff that they want to be considered high quality and affordable luxury, I think is the term that's been kind of bantered about it. So if they're going to take that approach with a car, they're going to want to work with a reasonably high-end manufacturer, right? They're going to have stringent requirements for build quality, fit and finish, and all of that. So they would want to work with a company that's capable of producing cars to that level of quality. Initially, a lot of people, I think, figured Apple would use one of its existing manufacturing partners, like Foxconn or Pegatron, because they've got, you know, a pretty good relationship with those companies already. And it's clear that those companies are able to bend to Apple's demands pretty quickly. Like when Apple enters a new product market, they're able to suddenly start making those products, you know, reasonably quick. That said, as flexible as companies like Foxtron and Pegatron are, it's a bit of a leap to expect them to go from consumer electronics to making cars. I mean, especially since they have absolutely no experience with that kind of production, right? I mean, yeah, they've got automation experience and the ability to hire thousands upon thousands of workers in countries like China to produce stuff, but I don't think Foxconn or Pegatron has experience tooling up a vehicle assembly line, you know, and all of the automation and robotics and manufacturing involved in that. That's just a completely different, bigger scale. And I suspect Apple realized that they would be better served by going to a company that just knows how to build cars and already has the facilities in place to do so. So that makes a lot of sense, moving ahead with an existing automaker. So within that realm, maybe the first one to come to mind would be BMW. And Apple worked with BMW on its whole car key software API. That's basically where you can like unlock and start your car when your iPhone is nearby. That's something they announced actually not too long ago. It's available on, I think, a few BMW models. And BMW is certainly known for making luxury products. I mean, that's all they make. BMW doesn't make anything that's considered cheap or affordable. It's all high quality stuff, you know, with nice features and pretty well built vehicles. I mean, you know, German reliability aside, but I think you know what I'm getting at, right? So you think the two of them would be a good fit, especially since not only is BMW known for building luxury vehicles, but they've also got some electric vehicle experience. So they wouldn't be going in blind building this electric car for Apple. They would already know, oh, okay, so electric motors, battery, controller, charging, all this kind of stuff. Cool, got it, right? So BMW would make a lot of sense in that regard, but BMW is not who they're working with. And it's probably because, well, BMW doesn't need to. They've already got a strong and recognizable brand. It'd actually be kind of like a step down for them to just be a manufacturer for Apple. If Apple wants to brand the vehicle itself and not just say, oh, the latest BMWs are powered by Apple technology, if Apple wants to put their logo on it and make them look different, like follow their own design language, BMW doesn't want to be relegated to just being a contract manufacturer, regardless of how good of a job they would be at doing it. Their time is better spent building their own cars because they already make a ton of money with their own products. So another option that comes to mind could be General Motors. They just went through a huge rebranding and they said that they're refocusing their efforts on electric cars. They've already got some experience building them, and it's clear they're going to invest a whole lot more into that technology. So that would definitely benefit Apple, as it means there's less mechanical stuff Apple would have to design. Like GM would be kind of bankrolling the foundation for building a variety of kinds of electric cars into the future, and Apple could take advantage of that, conceivably, right? So Apple could design what the car looks like and the technology inside it from the self-driving aspect, but then conceivably they could leave it up to a manufacturing partner like GM to make it go. You know what I mean? Like Apple wouldn't need to design all the motors and the battery and the controller and the charging and all that kind of stuff that goes into an electric car. They could just pick parts off of GM's shelf and say, yeah, these motors are good. And yeah, let's go with this battery pack. And it would save Apple just a ton of time and work. And GM would be the one kind of footing the bill, but getting, you know, reimbursed through the contract manufacturing with Apple to make all of that kind of foundational technology work. But GM isn't it either. It's because, well, they've already kind of cut a deal with somebody else. GM has already partnered with this self-driving startup called Cruise. And some big news is Microsoft just recently said they're partnering with Cruise as well. So Cruise is doing the self-driving stuff, GM is basically going to be one of the manufacturing kind of ends of it. Now, GM is likely going to, it's going to license from Cruise. Cruise doesn't want to build its own cars. They're one of those earlier, like what I was talking about earlier, the startups that just want to sell the self-driving tech. So GM is kind of signed on to get that self-driving tech from Cruise, and Microsoft is now jumping in to help push with that as well, thinking that maybe there could be some cloud connected components to this too, where, you know, the car is on the internet and maybe it can get real-time traffic updates and reroute you around congestion and this kind of stuff. So it's all kind of coming together. That's like one group of companies that are trying to mash all of their expertise together to build, you know, that supposed self-driving car of the future. So GM, at this point, they don't really have any need to work with Apple. So what about Japanese automakers? Well, Toyota and Honda could be really interesting options too. And when it comes to building quality vehicles, they're definitely capable of it, but they're both also unlikely to work with Apple on this. Toyota, well, they're big enough that they can develop any new technology they want on their own. They don't need Apple. They're kind of like BMW, but in a different way. BMW goes off of its name for being like quality luxury kind of stuff. Toyota has its name for being quality, like reliability, just like it's just really well built. It may not be the fanciest vehicle, even though Toyota does build luxury vehicles. They just don't need to partner with anybody. Toyota's so big, they can develop their own self-driving tech if/when they want to. And believe me, that's coming. That said, Toyota also doesn't really have a ton of experience building all-electric vehicles, and Honda's kind of in the same place. I mean, they're not as big as Toyota, but they've got that same notoriety for building just good, quality, durable vehicles. They're starting to get into electric vehicle technology, but they're still not super far along either. I mean, both of them have built hybrids for a long time, but full battery electric vehicles in some ways are a completely different beast than hybrids. It's close, but not quite there. So I think the Japanese automakers, for now at least, are going to be out. It still remains to be seen if Apple's going to keep all of its technology for itself, or if maybe it could potentially do something kind of like what it did with the Apple TV / the TV subscription service, where Apple sells the physical Apple TV device that's an entirely, all-in-one unit. You just hook it up to your TV and you've got all the apps and the ecosystem and everything on there. But Apple also set up licensing so that TV manufacturers can get the Apple TV app embedded directly into their devices. So Apple wasn't involved in the hardware of any of that. They basically just say, here's how you get this app on your TV, sign a licensing deal. And that's it. So I'm not going to close the door on Apple potentially, in quotes, working with any other automakers, but we don't know if this is something Apple wants to keep to itself, or if maybe it wants to do kind of one of those split types of things. I haven't heard anything along those lines yet, but you never know. So that brings us to who we currently believe Apple's actually working with. And this was kind of corroborated by a press release that the company released and then retracted because they realized they probably shouldn't have said that yet. If you've been paying attention to Apple news, you already know who I'm talking about. And it's actually a very unlikely one. I was surprised to read this. Apple is supposedly going to be working with Hyundai. And the latest news as of when I'm recording this is that the Apple car, at least for the US, will be built in a Kia plant in Georgia. Now, Hyundai and Kia, they're all one company, and they're really the only prominent Korean automaker. However, if the rise of companies like Samsung and LG are any indication, it's clear that there's strong desire for that country to increase its presence like in the global economy. Now, working with Apple, even just as a manufacturer, if all that Hyundai / Kia ever does is just build cars under contract for Apple and not really contribute anything other than production facilities, you know, and people to build them, it's still a huge benefit for Hyundai, because that's just a ton more money that they're going to, you know, be dealing with. They're going to increase their production usage. They're going to be able to build new plants if it actually takes off. And along those lines, using that plant in Georgia is a major benefit for Apple, because it allows the company to keep its promise for promoting American jobs. That's something that Apple's been saying for the last several years. It's why the Mac Pro is still being manufactured in Texas. At least, you know, Mac Pros that go to certain countries, we learned that that's not 100%, you know, where all of them are coming out of Texas. Some of them are still coming out of China, depending on where you live. But it's something that Apple's been promising for a while and keeps kind of inching towards. Apple hasn't really done any major stake in, like, oh, we're going to start building iPhones in the US. Like, they're just nowhere there yet. But by being able to take advantage of existing production, and the other thing to keep in mind is that cars are a lot more expensive to ship internationally than things like phones. I mean, you have to put cars on cargo ships and you can only fit so many cars per cargo ship. And it literally takes a couple of months for cargo ships to go across the Pacific. So, you know, manufacturing cars in the US makes a lot more sense if those cars are going to be sold in North America. And a lot of manufacturers have headed that way, including Japanese automakers. A lot of them have set up plants in, if not the US, in Canada or Mexico, just to make logistics easier. It's just cheaper to build them here, even though there's potentially an increase in labor costs in doing so. So it kind of all fits, right? There are some things that I am a little curious about. Hyundai, you know, they've only got some experience building electric cars. And none of it is really like innovative or groundbreaking. It's not like Hyundai is kind of a leader when it comes to electric car development. We haven't really heard much out of them. They're kind of like a me too. Okay, yeah, we're kind of getting into the whole electric car thing, just following what everybody else does. So they've got some experience, but that means that more of the design of the actual what makes the car go is going to be up to Apple to figure out, unless Hyundai is somehow going to, you know, do a major investment in that on their own in a hurry. The other thing is Hyundai also isn't really known for making luxury cars. I don't want to say that their cars are bad, but most everything they make is fairly utilitarian. That said, their most recent models definitely have been trying to trend up market. They are a lot better now than Hyundai's and Kia's used to be. So that company is certainly heading in the right direction. But if a potential Apple car buyer realized their car was manufactured by Kia, like it or not, Kia still has, I hate to use the term stigma, but I think that's kind of the closest term that fits, you know, amongst the people who are going to be willing to spend the kind of money that Apple is going to want to charge for its car. They're, I think, going to have potentially a tough time justifying it if they know that the car was built by Kia. I think they're going to be scrutinizing Apple's, you know, vehicles a lot closer than many other automakers than they, you know, like they would when they went out shopping, right? Like, they're going to be looking a lot closer at panel gaps and fit and finish. And does the car squeak and rattle and stuff as you drive it, compared to something like, you know, BMW or Lexus or whatever, where having well-built vehicles are kind of a given, like you don't really have to worry about it. So that's going to be another potential challenge, is just the public perception of this sort of thing. Now, it does raise the question as to actually what the Apple car is going to be, and we'll get back to that in just a sec. But I did want to comment and say, I do think it's really, really smart that Apple is going to work with an existing automaker to manufacture its car. And that's because it prevents them from having to go down the same path that Tesla did. Tesla famously decided it was going to do everything itself. It wanted everything to be in-house. You know, that's a very ambitious way to do it. And long term, that lets them control everything about their manufacturing process and their design and fulfillment, you know, of orders from customers and all that sort of thing. It lets them be as in control as possible. However, there have been a lot of growing pains along the way for Tesla, to the point where, you know, things like, you know, build quality concerns about their cars, I mean, they're pretty well known. Like, it was kind of a joke when the Tesla Model 3 first came out, like just how bad some of the panel gaps were in that vehicle, and you know, cars shipping that had like different style wheels one side of the car than the other because people weren't paying attention and that kind of stuff. It's getting better. Obviously, it's getting better, but you know, Tesla isn't exactly a new company anymore, and they're still making these sorts of mistakes. So it's left a lot of people, myself included, thinking that Tesla went into it as a tech company that was trying to figure out how to build cars. And I don't know about you, but when I go and buy a car, I want a car that's good at being a car, first and foremost. The technology to me in some ways is secondary. Like, I'm at the point where, you know, does it have like a good stereo and airbags and, you know, maybe some of the driver assistance kind of stuff, like the radar cruise control and blind spot monitoring and all that. Yeah, it's got all that stuff. Okay, cool. I'm happy. I want that to be secondary because first and foremost, I want the car to drive well. I want it to be reliable. I want to be able to go out to my car every day and know it's going to start every single time and it's going to get me where I need to go. And it's going to do so without any drama whatsoever. And I feel like if Apple went at building the entire car themselves without any outside help, like they went and made their own assembly plants and had to figure out all the robotics and everything on their own, like the robot welding machines and whatnot, that they would end up following the exact same footsteps as Tesla, and that the first couple generations of cars would be very hit or miss when it came to quality. So by partnering with an existing automaker, they don't have to go through those growing pains. Like, you know, Hyundai in this case can say, yeah, here's how you want to put these parts of the car together because we've learned from experience, this makes it more reliable, or this makes the pieces fit together better, or whatever, right? It prevents these other problems from occurring. So it's very smart on Apple's part. Now, what we don't know is where that split is going to be between Apple and Hyundai. Is Hyundai going to be doing any kind of design work? Or are they really just going to be doing the manufacturing? There's still a lot that they can contribute if they just do the manufacturing part of it. But I feel like there's a lot more that can help both sides if Apple brings in Hyundai to do at least some of the design work, or to maybe like look at the design Apple's been putting together and point out things that may not work quite so well. You know, oh, you should do it this way because otherwise it produces this other kind of a problem, or, you know, whatever. Even electric cars are still very complex devices, way more complex than anything Apple has ever built before from a mechanical perspective.
Sorry, I couldn't hear what you said.
Shut up, Siri. See what I was saying about complexity? Apple can't even get, like, you know, software right, where this my watch is like listening to what I'm saying and thinking that I'm talking to it. Could you imagine if they like had this level of error, you know, going into building a car mechanically? Yeah, that's going to get really frustrating to a lot of people really quick. So anyway, coming back to what the actual car is going to be like, that's, I think, going to be maybe the most interesting part of it, is what car does Apple build? I mean, it's called the Apple Car so far, but is there just going to be one? I mean, they're probably going to start with maybe one model, just like Tesla did, but what form is it going to take? Are they just going to go with the traditional sedan, or are they going to try to be a little bit more practical or utilitarian? You know, a hatchback could be really interesting, but my guess is that they would probably go for something like a small sport utility, you know, a so-called crossover vehicle, where it sits up a little bit higher. It's got a bit more cargo space. that's just the kind of vehicle that's very popular these days. And we see fewer and fewer models of sedans and hatchbacks and stuff being made. I mean, Ford basically killed off everything that wasn't a truck or an SUV, with the exception of the Mustang, simply because, at least in the US, people weren't buying them anymore. So Apple's going to want to go where the market is, for sure. But there's only so much of a market that's going to want to buy a small crossover vehicle at the kind of price that Apple's likely going to charge. It's very unlikely that this is going to be like Honda Accord type of territory when it comes to pricing. This is going to be BMW pricing, if not more. I mean, Apple just launched headphones that are $550. And that's the thing everyone just can't stop talking about, is it's like they're literally $200 more than any other comparable pair of headphones. The same thing is most likely going to happen with the car. Not just because Apple is probably going to spend a boatload on development, but also because Apple can command that kind of price and people will pay it. We've seen it. I mean, the AirPods Max, those headphones, they sold out right away, even at that $550 price tag. So it'll be the same thing with the car. Apple could price it at whatever they want, as long as it's not a ridiculous sum that literally very few people could afford. They're going to get what they want to charge for the car. But with that comes expectations, especially given the amounts of money we're talking about. I mean, $550 for a pair of headphones, that's a lot. But within Apple's target demographic, you can scrounge up that kind of money, right? I mean, if you already can afford the high price of an iPhone or a MacBook Pro or whatever, you can afford, eventually at least, to put together $550 for a pair of those headphones if you really want them. If we're talking about a car that sells for, say, $60,000 US, like we're talking like BMW, you know, luxury car, Tesla kind of money, potentially even more, that puts it out of reach of a lot more people. I can't afford or even justify a car that expensive. Nowhere near it. I've never even sat in a car that expensive before. But there's going to be some people who can still afford that, and other people who are going to stretch themselves to afford that to their own detriment, just because of, you know, how hardcore they are about Apple or whatever. And so the expectations are going to be super high, I guess, is all I'm going to say. So whatever form factor the vehicle comes in, it can't be lame. It can't be something that people are going to go, oh, well, it's just a boring sedan or whatever. Or it's, oh, it's just a soccer mom SUV kind of a thing. It's got to, you know, have really good styling to it, but it's also got to be useful enough to a wide variety of people to convince them to spend that kind of money, I guess is what I'm trying to say. The other thing to think about is the whole servicing and sales aspect of it. And this has come up with Tesla before, and I'm really, really afraid that Apple's going to go down the same path, although I'm pretty sure they will. Apple has, for the past many years, really started to hate independent resellers, at least the mom and pop kind of ones. Apple has strategically put Apple stores in or near places that have had mom and pop resellers. One here famous in the Twin Cities, you know, Minneapolis, St. Paul area, was called First Tech. They were one of Apple's very first dealers from decades ago. And several years ago, Apple put in an Apple store just a few blocks away. And at first, First Tech thought, oh, well, you know, yeah, it's going to take away some of our business, but we've got a lot of professional clients who still need support and want hands-on help and training and service and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, we'll survive. Yeah, spoiler alert, First Tech ended up closing because that Apple store. Apple has really wanted to control not just everything about the manufacturing and design process, but it wants to control the sales process as well. Not to say that Apple wants to be the only company that sells its products, but there's really just a handful of places left other than an Apple store or Apple's own website where you can buy Apple products. It's really just some big name chains. Yes, there are still some independent resellers out there, but my understanding is that life has become very hard for them. They don't make very much money off of the actual sales themselves, and the vast majority of the money that they make is going to be from service. Like, if you're a small business owner and you decide that you want to have a bunch of Macs in your business instead of just going out and buying a bunch of, you know, Dell or Lenovo or whatever computers, you would want to set up a service contract with a company so that if you have problems or questions, they can come out and help you and figure it all out and everything like that. Basically, the kind of stuff that Apple themselves wouldn't do. That's really the only thing that's keeping a lot of these independent providers around. Even from a service perspective, life has become hard. If they want to do any sort of work in or out of warranty, I mean, I've talked about this before, where, you know, they're becoming more and more shut out as to what they have access to, as Apple has tightened down security on its products and then also integrated more and more components. My fear is that a lot of that is going to happen with the Apple Car as well. I'm pretty sure, sad to say, it's going to be the case where the only place you would be able to buy an Apple Car is from an Apple Car store. I highly doubt they're going to follow the traditional dealer network because Apple loses too much control that way. We know Apple wants to control the buying experience to present its products physically, you know, in front of you in the best light possible. And so if they leave it up to just, you know, the kind of traditional methodology of having a bunch of what are effectively franchisees sell your products, and like what we currently have with car dealers today, that kind of goes against that because Apple can't control that experience completely. The same thing comes true with service. I mean, we've all, if you own a car, you've probably had to take it in for service. And you've probably had some good service experiences and some bad ones as well. And a lot of that just comes down to how the particular place you took it to handles themselves, right? There are some dealers that are more based on volume, just try to get the cars in and out quick, you know, just, you know, slap some parts in there and get done, versus others that maybe kind of want to foster more of a customer relationship and encourage repeat business and that sort of thing. Apple would lose that level of control as well. Plus, I think we also know that Apple's going to be fairly locked down with what kind of repairs unauthorized, in quotes, people are going to be able to do with those cars. Apple, I think, is going to go just even more hardcore with that in their cars to the point where you have to be an authorized Apple repair person to really do the vast majority of any kind of work on there. And will Apple make that available for anyone to be able to do? Will the independent garage down the street be able to apply to become an authorized Apple vehicle repair center? Or is Apple really going to lock it down just like Tesla does to pretty much their own dealers or service centers and leave, you know, third parties up to doing so-called unauthorized repairs with some level of question as to whether those would even be successful? You know, it's kind of a perilous journey to go down that path. So those are really my fears. And while I'm very eager to see what shakes out of all of this, I'm going to be honest, I'm probably not going to buy an Apple Car. It's for a few reasons. One is I'm not sure if the car would actually really work for my needs. It remains to be seen, of course, what form factor the car, or I suppose cars, plural, could come in, but you know, there's an awful lot of choices out there, and no matter what your list of requirements are, there's typically at least one model out there that will check all of those boxes. I'm not sure that, at least at the beginning, Apple's going to produce vehicles that can kind of hit a wide cross-section of potential buyers. Apple's probably going to end up following Tesla's lead and setting up its own set of stores that are all corporate owned so that it can control that sales experience. And alongside that, it's also going to be just as locked down with repairs and service as it would with any of its other products. I mean, we know it's become increasingly harder and harder to repair or service any of Apple's other products. In fact, we're at the point where it's kind of surprising when it's something is still possible to be done. You know, the days of, well, yeah, you can just go and buy the part and put it in yourself for an Apple product are pretty much over. Would you really want to spend that kind of money knowing that that's Apple's modus operandi with the car? Maybe not at first, but potentially down the road. And Apple has done that trick before too, where, you know, we've seen like with iPhones, where for the longest time, if you broke the screen on your iPhone, you could go out and buy a generic third-party replacement for it. Now, there are companies in China that make replacement iPhone screens that haven't been blessed by Apple. And for the longest time, that worked. But later on, Apple decided, no, we don't want that to happen anymore. And so they started flipping some software switches that disable features in the phone if it detects that there is a third-party part installed. And the screen isn't the only one. The screen itself still continues to work, but you lose features like the True Tone display. Would anyone really be willing to take that chance with their Apple Car? Like, for example, here's something I can think of just off the top of my head. We know the car is going to be self-driving, at least to some extent. A common problem that vehicles have is cracks and chips in their windshields. Now, if you've ever had your windshield replaced, you know you've really kind of got two options. You can go with the OEM replacement that's, you know, manufactured by the company that made your car, or at least is the original part that came on the car. And that's the one, of course, the manufacturer would prefer that you buy. And then there's also generic third-party replacements that work just as well. It's the same quality of glass and it fits on the car just fine, but it costs potentially a lot less. With most cars, you can pick whatever you like. If you don't have that much money, go for the generic replacement. If you like the peace of mind of knowing that you've got an OEM windshield, you can do that too. But what if Apple did something like, if you put a generic third-party windshield on your Apple Car, suddenly the self-driving stopped working, or you would lose features of the self-driving? Would anyone really be willing to take that risk, especially knowing that the official Apple replacement would probably cost 2, 3, 4 times as much as that generic replacement, and you'd have to take it to an Apple authorized or Apple themselves service center to get it installed? I don't know. I don't think that's a gamble that I'm willing to take. So as interested as I am in where Apple's going with this technology, which on one hand makes a lot of sense for them. This is technology that I think they've been heading towards. It's kind of maybe part of their whole augmented reality kind of initiative that they've got with the phone, like just to a much bigger scale. And it's also kind of weird because Apple's never really made mechanical things like this before. Either way, I don't know. I'm really hesitant as to whether this is the sort of thing that I'd be willing to get myself into, just knowing what the outcome probably would be. I'm curious, of course, as to your thoughts on this. Maybe I've got it all wrong. Maybe there's some part of this that I'm not thinking of that would tie it all together and make a whole ton of sense to buy an Apple Car. Maybe the self-driving is just so much better than anything else that it outweighs any of the other potential negatives. Let me know what you think down in the comments. Either way, this is going to be a story that's going to be long running. It's probably going to be several more years before we actually see anything more concrete out of this project, let alone ideas as to what the car would even look like, but, you know, release dates, anything like that. It's going to be fun to watch. As always, thanks for listening.